Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Or you can take what belongs to you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
He paid the price for you. You have everything you need.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, on tonight, just want to give you gratitude and appreciation, God. Just say a thank you on tonight, God, for allowing us to gather to hear, Father God, and break through service, God, because we are coming for that breakthrough on tonight, Father God. We're not just going to stand here, Father God, and wait for it to fall into our laps, Father God, but we are running it for our lives, Father God, and we are searching, Father God, for the chains to be broken, for the shackles, Father God, to be loose, Father God, for the cycles to be broken, Father God, for that new thing to be done on tonight, Lord. Oh, God, I'm asking on tonight that you would touch each and every one of us on tonight, God, that hearts are open, that are ready and willing and seeking, Father God, your place, Lord God, for you to give them what they need on tonight, God, because, Lord, you know exactly what we have needed on today, Father God. And Lord, we stand right here, God, and we're going to just give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in advance, God, for what you're about to do on tonight, God. Oh, God, I'm asking right now in the name of these Jesus, Lord God, that you will search deep down on the inside of us, Lord God, and let us not leave the same way that we can, God. We are open, God. We are available to you, Father God. We're making ourselves susceptible to you right now, Father God, to enter in, Father God, because you said, God, you're taking us to a new direction, Father God. That path is straight and narrow, Father God, and we don't want to go any way, other way, God, but the right way, Lord God. So on tonight, Father God, as you order our footsteps and direct our path, God, on tonight, Father God, as you lead us by your Spirit, God, fill us on tonight, Lord God, because nobody else, Lord God, can fulfill us like you can, Lord God. Nobody else, Lord God, can do for us what you do for us, God. So as we come together, Father God, collectively in love and unison, Father God, as we come together as one, Father God, standing in need, Father God, because we all need you, Father God, in more ways than one, Father God, but we need one another, Father God. So as we pray and make intercession for one another, Father God, as your word comes in, God, and stimulates some things on inside of us, God, let it open us up, Father God, that we may receive the more of you on today, Father God, that you may continue to plant us, God, where we need to be, Father God, and uproot us, God, for where we don't belong, Father God, because we don't want to go any other way, God, but the way you want us to go, Father God, and we want to make sure, Father God, that we stay in position, Father God, but whatever you're doing this season, Lord God, we don't want you to do without us, Lord God, so we want to continue, Father God, to proceed with caution, Father God, and be mindful, Father God, of our ways and our actions, Lord God, our thoughts, Lord God, any and everything, Lord God, that will cause us to miss, Lord God, even by a hair, Lord God. Oh, God, we want to get it right that we may be pleasing in your sight, God. So on tonight, God, as the word goes forward, Lord God, pour it out on tonight, God. Word the mouth of our pastor right now, God. Give her that word, Lord God. Let it burn up everything that's not like, Lord God. Oh, God, give her that word on tonight, Father God. Let it break down some things on tonight, Father God. That wall that has been built, Lord God, let it be torn down, God. And even, Lord God, if it's in the ears of your people, Lord God, let it go in, Father God. We thank you on tonight, Father God, that word, Father God, it goes beyond these four walls, God. We thank you tonight, God, that word goes worldwide, Lord God, because we know, Father God, it may not just be for those of Harvest Time Mission International, Father God, but it may be somebody all across the world, Father God, way in Hawaii, Father God, or in Africa, Father God, or wherever this recording may go, Father God, they need to hear this word, God. Let it be planted on today, Father God, that that person can receive their breakthrough tonight, God, because you said breakthroughs are here, God. Healing is here, Father God. It is now today, God, and we open up our hearts to receive the now, God. Oh, God, we thank you for our now, God, for whatever it may be, Lord God, whatever it is your people are waiting for, Lord God, you promised some things, Father God, and your word is true. Your word is final. It sealed the deal, and we thank you for sealing that deal for us, God, as we patiently, God, wait on you, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you on tonight, Father God, for perfecting that patience in us, God, because we know that every good and perfect gift, it comes from you, Lord God.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
and we thank you for strengthening us to wait on you, Lord God. We'd rather wait on you, Father God, than do it any other way, Father God. We don't want to be a robber and a thief, Lord God. But we want to do it the right way, Lord God. So let your people know on tonight, God, just because they have not seen it yet, Lord God, let them know, Father God, it has not yet come, Lord. Oh, God, we glorify and bless you and praise you on tonight, God. We want to thank you, Father God, for the storm that blew through, Father God, because we don't know what you are washing away, Father God, but you are making room for some new. Oh, God, we thank you, Father God, because we may not know why you allowed that storm storm to come, Father God. But we know that you know what's best, Father God. You control the weather, Lord. So today, God, we thank you for it all on today, Father God. And even in advance for what you're about to look at. Oh, God, we bless you tonight, God. We bless you. We bless you for the new one today, Father God. That internal thing that you're doing that's new in us, Lord God. And even that outer thing on today, Father God. For the positioning, the placement, the replacement, and the conditioning, God. We thank you for it all on tonight, God. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, God. And as we leave this place on tonight, Father God, let's not leave it where that we came, God. Lord, we glorify you. We praise you. And we bless you. We honor you on tonight, God. Oh, God, saturate this place, Lord God. Consume this atmosphere, Father God. This building is your place, God. And we welcome you here on tonight, God. And we thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to come in here together on tonight, Lord God, to receive every blessing that you have for us, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. Oh, God, I ask on tonight that you consider the prayers, Lord God. Those on the wall, Father God, even on the altar, God. Those prayers, God, that's sitting in our heart that we don't even speak about, Lord God. Oh, God, I'm asking on tonight, Lord God, that you continue to touch the families that we make intercession for, Father God. Lord, I'm sending a special prayer, Father God, for Justin Boykin right now, Lord God. Oh, Father God, you know everything that he's going through and everything he experienced, Father God, but he's still praising you, God. He's still giving you glory. He's still acknowledging you, Father God, in the midst of all the loss, Father God, and all the tragedy, Father God. Strengthen your son on tonight, God, for whatever it is that you're doing, Father God. Let his clientele build, Lord God. Let it continue, Father God, to come in as you designed it to do, Father God, because we don't know what you're doing in his life, God, but we know that you're working behind the scenes on his behalf, Lord God. So do it for him on today. His family, Lord God, as they lay his daughter to rest, Father God. Wrap your arms around him right now, Lord God, because you know what he has need of, Father God. Oh, God, right now, touch Brittany and her daughter on today, Father God, as she daily, Lord God, uplifts up prayers to you weekly, Father God, making that sacrifice of praise to you, God, because she knows that healing is for her daughter now today, Lord God. So only you can do it, Father God. Bow for those doctors right now, God. When they think and believe they have the power, when they don't, God. Oh, God, I'm asking you today, Father God, anybody else, Lord God, who's standing in that place of asking, requesting you a thing and they know for sure, God, do it today, God. Do it now today, Lord. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. There's so many times in our lives that we go through so many things and there's so many situations and so many concerns and so many challenges that goes on inside of our lives that we have a tendency of thinking and believing that we would never get over it. We would never be free. We would never get past it. It would never stop. We just keep believing this. We just keep walking around thinking and believing that it will never change, but it will. It can if we allow the person that came in the flesh to free us. The name of the sermon tonight is Freedom Reigns. Listen to me, y'all. Jesus.
I've cried. Anybody know what I'm talking
about? Please
listen
to this song. Yellow sheets of paper and red.
You know, I cried for better days.
Jesus.
Yes, I did.
For better days.
We try so hard.
Am I talking to
somebody? To get over some things, to get past some things, and to forget. We just be wanting to forget.
Mm-mm. I know.
It's hard to forget. What we do is hide it, bury it, put it under a rock, sweep it under a rug. That's what we do. And that is not good.
But see, I got to do something. I got to just hold it. Come on, y'all.
We can't hold out if we don't let go. We got to first let go.
Come on.
Come on, write down all this stuff.
I hold out.
They got you.
That's the song.
Bruised.
That's another significant word.
They got you in captivity.
Sometimes
Jesus, I get a little ghost
feel. I feel all alone. Come on, y'all. Y'all got to get with
us. Oh, this song ministers, baby. I get a little ghost. I need it like I feel. Oh, God, open up the hearts of your people on today that they may be able to receive the freedom that's raining down upon your people right now. That we may walk in the liberty of your grace. Jesus, we be so distracted. We be worried about who doing this and who doing that. We be worried about is we getting acknowledged or is somebody seeing us and saying, hiya little go something. We just be worried about the wrong stuff. Our money situation, our houses and our $60 and I keep $40. I don't do that. I say, give me. See, what we don't understand is God don't want you to look at that 40 as if it's going to take you through. You need to understand that he's the one. He's the one. See, what we don't understand, I don't even know why I got to say this, but I got to say it. What we don't understand is that if we continue to put our trust in their money, their bank account, and their job, we are in captivity. How are we in captivity, Pastor? Because you don't know that the Lord, the gold, the silver, the rubies, the diamond, baby, the tree that make that money that you trusting in, that's even his. He'll dry it up. And I cannot keep reiterating this. You cannot outgive God.
It's going to shine.
He said, be willing to give than to receive. I just read that a couple days ago.
You got to tell your spirit.
See, when you give, and it ain't got to be just money. Please understand this, y'all. It don't matter. Please hear me tonight. It ain't just about money. God don't give a rat's tail about no money. He don't want you to either. He don't want you to either. God don't give a rat's tail about no houses and no cars and no. He gives this stuff because he loves it, and it's because we desire it. Not that he got stuff greater than this. Oh, I can't get it until I get ready to go to heaven. I got to wait till I get to heaven. No, he said you can get it all in this life. But in order for you to get it in this life, it's some stuff that you got to do. It's some things you got to go through. It's some experiences that you got to get over. It's some things you got to let go. Oh, it's some forgiving you got. Oh, baby. It's a turnaround that you gotta make. You just ain't gonna get it all the time because he got pity on you. Let me turn this down. See, let me explain something to y'all tonight. God is gracious. And he's loving, he's kind, and he's also optimistic. Why do I say that? Because what you don't see, he do. And he sees the best in you. I'm going to say that one more time. What you don't see in you, he do. And he sees the best in you. Why do he see the best in you? Because he the one who created you. The Bible says that everything he made was what? Good. So he see that good in you. And even though it's hard for us to perform that good, he gives us a choice to do good, to do right, to think right, to act right, to treat each other right, to walk right. That's that road, baby. That's that journey. And it ain't easy. Let me tell you something. Experiences from our past causes us to be in a place of captivity that we do not think, we do not believe, and we cannot see because we restrict ourselves from believing. Did y'all hear me? Three words. Lisa, I want you to look up the word deliver. Keita, look up the word captive. And I want you to look up the word bruise. deliver, captive, and bruise. Get to look up that word captive. Deliver, Lisa. Prophetess, look up that word bruise. See, okay.
I can't cut it off.
Stand up, please, and read every definition that you hear for the word deliver. Deliver, to set free, to take and hand over to or leave for another. Convey, hand over. Surrender. Deliver the prisoners to the sheriff. Deliver themselves over to God. To send, provide, or make accessible to someone electronically. Have the information delivered to you via email, cell phone pager, instant messaging, or just on a web page.
You see how technical society done got? Because when I was coming up in the Webster Dictionary, that was not one of the definitions for deliver. But keep going.
To assist.
Because that's how we evolve in electronics. That's why it's so easy for you to keep checking your bank account when it ain't changed. Go ahead.
To assist a pregnant female in giving birth. To aid in the birth of. To give birth to.
All this is relating to deliverance. Because we got to first deliver these things to the Lord in order for Him to deliver us and let us be free.
Yes.
And then in the midst of it, we can birth out some things. We're delivering something new. I'm just saying, come on.
Jesus. To cause oneself to produce.
I hope y'all don't disregard this stuff I be preaching, y'all. I'm telling y'all. Listen to me when I tell y'all. Freedom reigns. R-E-I-G-N-S. It reigns, y'all. We got access.
Yes.
It's available.
Yes, for all of us.
Everyone.
I volunteer. I volunteer. Ain't nobody gotta push me, beg me, beat me, whoop me, baby. Ain't nobody gotta pay me. I volunteer. I freely volunteer. Go ahead.
To cause oneself to produce as if by giving birth.
Go ahead.
Speak, sing, utter. Deliver a song, deliver a speech. Deliver a fiery sermon.
How many times you heard, oh, it's in a deliverance. People don't accept a lot of things because it's not delivered the way that they want it to be delivered to them. So God may have somebody come to you and scold you and be hard or be rough or be mean in His word to you, and you don't want to hear it because you feel like it wasn't delivered and it's not God. Let me tell you something. God is a God of correction, rebuke, reproof. He buffet, He fuss, He scream, He yell, He even beg. I'm just saying. And in all that, guess what? He still show mercy. And He still loves us, even in spite of us being us. Come on, somebody.
To come through with, produce. To produce the promised, desired, or expected results. Come through.
What? To deliver. To deliver. I'm going to say this again. Even though you can't see you, God sees you and He sees the best in you. So He wants to deliver you from the worst so you can get to your best and know your worth. But because we so wrapped up in what everybody else is doing, How they doing it, how much of it is they doing it. I'm replaced, I'm removed, I'm this and that. Until you can't keep your eyes on what you need to. What do you tell that disciple? The Bible says that the disciple looked over and saw the other disciple following him. And then he said, well, Master, what's going on? He said, why are you worried about him? I'm telling you to follow me. I'm giving you instructions about you. I'm telling you what's going to happen with you. But because you're so worried about what's happening with them, you can't concentrate on you. That's preventing you from concentrating on me. So, Lord, deliver us. Deliver us today from leaning to our own understanding and thinking and believing, oh, it's going to take me all this. Do what he said, do. He said he's going to redeem time. So let me tell y'all. Let me tell y'all what happened. I had got an important phone call maybe about 4:30. And so I was like, okay, I was planning on being at the church by 6 because I had some things to do here before service started. But in the midst of it, I got caught up on a phone call, and it was two other people involved at two different organizations, and so they was calling me back and forth, and we were trying to get on one accord. And so in the midst of it, I looked at my clock, and it was like 5:30. I said, oh, Lord, I got to get in the shower. I got to get myself together. I got to, you know, just sit. So I'm trying to run around the house and do different other kind of stuff, and then I stopped. I said, Lord, just redeem the time. And so in the midst of it, when I got through doing everything, because I'm extremely slow, I got through doing everything, I looked at the clock, and it says 6:25. I said, whoo, and I'm finna walk out the door. And so I said, oh man, I ain't got no gas in my car. I got enough gas to get there, but I don't know if I got enough to get back, and I ain't even finna try. I said, so I need to go to Sam's Club, give me some gas, and take care of that. And so I'm sitting in line. I was like, when I said, I looked at my clock. I said, you know what? I ain't going to even worry about it because, Lord, you already redeemed the time. And so when I got here, it was 6:56. And when I walked in and when I got the car, I heard her praying. And I was like, just look at God. And so when I went inside of the office, I was like, okay, Lord, because he had already told me and everything. And so I said, okay, Lord, so. And then I said, well, I'm going to look up these words right here. He said, no, tell them to do it. They need to read it because they need to understand. And each word you gave to each individual is specifically for them. So come on, finish reading, deliver.
It said to produce the promised desire or expected results. Come through. Deliver the goods. To give results that are promised, expected, or desired. And the stars reads to free from the penalties or the consequences of sin.
What?
Amen. To remove from danger or harm.
See, because we think and believe that we are not, God has not forgiven us, but he didn't already say, I will forgive you and throw your sins in the sea of forgetfulness. It's you that have not forgiven you. It's you that keep bringing it up because he forgave you and threw it in the sea of forgetfulness. So he done forgot. Why ain't you? Why you keep holding you over your own head? Why you holding you over your own head?
Bless you.
That's you being you and allowing yourself not to be delivered. Come on.
It said to give something over to the control or possession of another.
Usually, what's controlling you? You're not delivered from that thought. You ain't delivered from that situation. You ain't delivered from that concern. You ain't delivered from that man, that woman, that conversation. What has so much control over you that you are not delivered? Don't you know that if you're not delivered, you're in bondage? Come on.
To put something into the possession of someone for use or consumption. To put something into the possession or safekeeping of another.
Come on.
to turn.
What? How many times have Jesus said, cast all your cares on me because I care for you? He said, come on ye that labor and are heavy laden. How many times have he said these things to let you know that you ain't got to stay over there? You ain't got to stay back there. You ain't got to stay under there. You ain't got to stay in there. You don't. Deliver us today, Lord. Deliver us from our overthinking. Deliver us from that thing that hurt us so bad that we think that. Deliver us from those childhood hurts and that stuff that causes us to think and believe that we ain't worthy or that we missed out on something as a kid. Y'all go on the screen one good time. It's okay. These are the things that we need to be delivered from. Because, baby, the enemy going to keep bringing that passing thought to you until you're going to get into a place and stand in bondage. You may be delivered from this thing, but you're not delivered from that thing. But it collaborates with all the things. The stuffs, the eats, the whats, and the what ifs. Come on.
Turn out as planned or desired. To bring forth from the womb. To give oneself over to something, especially unrestrainedly.
What? How often have you did it? How often have we given ourselves over to that thing that it controls us so until we go into a place of bitterness? We go into a place of hate. We go into a place of rage. And resentment and just, and we try to sabotage stuff or people, defamation, defaming people, defrauding. How many times? Lord, deliver us. Deliver us today. Get into her. No. The next word is captive. Come on. I gave it to y'all in order. Don't go back there in that sand and read that. Please. It's not. Hey, you heard me. Okay. I ain't playing with no spirits tonight. I'm calling them out and tearing them down. Deliver us, Lord. Read. What are you reading, baby? Excuse me? Okay, read it so we can hear it and keep your mouth inside the microphone.
Taken and held
as... It's okay. Give it here. Captain, taken and held as or as if a prisoner of war. Kept within bounds. It's confined. It's of or related to captive animals. It's held under control of another but having the appearance of independence. Owned or controlled by another concern and operated for its needs rather than for an open market. We got to be open to the market of God's freedom. We cannot allow ourselves to continue to be captive, to be rebellious. We cannot allow ourselves to continue to be captive, to lean to our own understanding with gestures and nonsense and foolishness that's going on in our hearts. What did he say on the prayer line this morning? Being such involuntarily because of a situation that makes free choice or departure difficult. Okay, captive. Being such involuntarily because of a situation that makes free choice or departure difficult. One who has been captured, one taken and held usually in confinement. We confine our own selves in our own hearts and our own minds and in our own thoughts. We don't want to be obedient. We don't want to follow direction. We don't want to go in the right direction. We want to be rebellious, and we want to lean to our own understanding and thinking and believing one way. Because let me explain something to you. You can pretend that you don't understand or don't know, but because God... how to present and deliver his word, I know you ain't lost. Not to understanding, but you may be lost to the acceptance of it. One captivated, dominated, or controlled. What is dominating your thoughts, your will, and your mind, your attitude, and all that stuff that's preventing you from doing or acting appropriately or what God wants you to do? What? What is stopping you or making you want to let off negativity or wicked and evil actions in your mind or towards God's people? What do the Bible say? Honor one another, especially the ones who is... What is controlling you? Because God wants us to be free tonight. He gave each and every last one of us a word to read. Because it is applying to us individually. That we will not be and stay in that place. So if we are reading it out of our own mouths, then it can enter in. It's a reason why God do stuff. I can't make this stuff up. I don't even know what to do, y'all. But if you're not willing, it's okay. I am. I'm going to say it again. I freely volunteer. Because I want to be delivered. I don't want to be in captivity. And I sure don't want to stay bruised, baby. Did you hear what I say? I want it all. One that has been taken and held in confinement. How many times we take a conversation, a word, a situation, or an experience, and we confine ourselves in it, taking us to depression, sadness, being thinking that we segregating and degrading ourselves, and I'm not going to be involved, and I'm not going to do this, and I don't want to do this, and they don't like me, and they, that's all. Lord, deliver. Deliver. Because none of us should have to have tooth and nail pulled out of us for to just simply get in position and line up. That's only if you want to. Taken and held prisoner. We prisoners within our own selves. Because of the stuff that's going on in our own minds and in our own thoughts. It ain't nothing nobody else is doing to us or saying to us. It's us doing it to ourselves. I have given y'all the example 100 times, and I'm going to give it to y'all again. When we in school and we leaving the lunchroom, they got all of us walking in one line. And we got to stay in that line so that we won't cause distractions. We got to stay in that line so everything will be in order. But if I get out of that line, then the teacher, get back in line, Yvette. You know you're supposed to be. Stop all that talking, Yvette. Stop acting like that. And then I get mad and I get to walking real slow. And so all the people behind me is being hindered because of my foolishness. You, why are you trying to hinder other folks? Because you don't want to do what you are told. We, see, we don't want nobody telling us nothing. We don't want nobody telling us nothing because I'm grown and I can do what I want to do and I can do it how I want to do it. And you ain't crazy, you ain't slow, and you ain't illiterate. We all got common sense. We may not use it all the time, but we got it. So we as people got to stay in formation as a congregation, because it's a unity thing. It's not about me, you, him, our day, we, and us. is all about God, but in unison and on one accord. And in order for that to happen, it is order. Because God is a God of order. Line upon line, precept upon precept, baby. That's the God I serve. If there's no order, then there's chaos. And that's why we are what? Held captive inside our thoughts, our hearts, and our actions. Deliver us, Lord. Deliver us today. Baby, it may be tight, but it's right. Give us a heart to accept your truth. That we may be able to live your truth, to receive your truth, which is what? Freedom. Freedom reigns in here on tonight. I'm going to give you what you need in order to become free. It's your choice to chew or regurgitate. Come on with the next word. Get that mic and give it to her, please. Let me spray that. Bruised. Bruised. Woo, Jesus.
Bruised. To inflict an injury involving rupture of small blood vessel or discoloration.
To bruise.
Without.
How many times you done got poked in your eye and it be a red spot? How many times you hit yourself with something and then it get black or purple or red or... You went to the doctor and they tried to give you a shot and take you... And leave bruises on your skin. Guess what, y'all? We be bruised on our mind and in our hearts, too. Bruised. You know what it's called? Emotional breakdowns. Oh... She hurt my feelings. He hurt my feelings. Oh, he hurt my heart real bad. I never trust again. I can't believe they said that. They always picking on me. These are these bruises, y'all. Come on, I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but keep reading. I mean, you gonna see?
To inflict the injury involving rupture. Or of small blood vessels and discoloration without a break in the overlaying skin or a similar injury.
See, sometimes you could be bruised and can't nobody see it because you wear a mask all the time. Don't mess around and have discernment because I see you. See, sometimes you put on that chameleon suit and you fake at it so much until you get to believing that ain't nothing wrong, but let something be said. Whoa, that bruise is hit. If I hit my toe and hurt my toe and it's bruised, it's going to hurt for a while, but if I hit it again, the same toe, baby, I may break it. See, when you bruise, you've been broken. You... Y'all think I'm kidding? I'm going to read it to y'all. Luke. Read the book. No, read the definition. I'm going to read the book.
Okay. It's like to plant tissue, to inflict or bruise injury one sense. Bruise.
Then put the mic to your mouth now.
Bruise her arm when he grabbed her. To break down leaves, berries. By pounding, crush, wound, injured.
Go to the thesaurus. Is you ready? Give her the thesaurus. Read the definitions of bruise in Webster. Start at Webster and then click over to the thesaurus. Bruise.
An injury involving...
Put that mouth to that mic.
An injury involving rupture of a small blood vessel and discoloration without breaking in overlaying skin. A similar injury to plant tissue. To scratch an injury, especially to fillings.
Go to the source.
The source.
Click over.
A bodily injury in which small blood vessels are broken, but the overlaying skin is not.
That's that mask I was talking about. Come on.
She got quite a big bruise. She got.
Don't read that. Just read the definitions.
An area of skin roughened or worn away by harsh rubbing against another surface.
See, sometimes it be hard.
Yes.
I just said this. And it'll bruise your ego.
Yes.
It'll make you feel like you can't talk to me like that. You can't. I will not. And then it causes you to rebel and get to, okay, come on. A bruised ego. Come on.
That's good.
It was one that I had read earlier. An injury, especially to the feelings. That's bruised. Let's go to the book. Let's go to the book. Luke, chapter 4. See, when you come in the house of God, you got to come in expectation, baby. You coming in expectation and preparation to receive whatever it is. Let me explain something to you about this book right here. If the word is being preached and you can't say ouch, because you're going to say ouch, it's going to make you feel some type of way. It's going to make you want to look some type of way. But if you listen to the whole conclusion of the matter, it'll give your heart a conviction and you'll repent. That's how freedom reigns. That's how freedom reigns. See, we can't allow ourselves to be in captivity and not receive the deliverance that has caused us to be bruised. We got to get over our sins.
Mm-hmm. Get out the way.
We can.
Get out the way. Jesus.
We got to get over ourselves, y'all.
Jesus.
I say 100 times, don't take it personal. Make it personal, baby. Because if you don't make it personal, you're not going to get it right. You're not going to choose to do right. You ain't gonna choose to think right. You ain't gonna choose to act right. You ain't gonna choose to live right. You ain't gonna choose to even walk right. And your show ain't gonna tell the truth. How? Because you choosing the wrong. And that's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. Luke chapter 4. We're gonna start at verse 16. Please listen on tonight, y'all. I'm trying to help us even the more to understand that freedom reigns. R-E-I-G-N-S. Freedom reigns. Y'all know what freedom is. Let me tell y'all. I'm reading definition to freedom. The quality or state of being free. The absence of necessity, coercion, or constraint in choice or action. Is y'all getting that? Freedom from slavery or restraint or from the power of another. And that could be something in your own mind. Do y'all get it? It's not costing or charging anything. Freedom is free. It's free. Enjoying personal freedom, not subject to the control or domination of another or something or someone or conversation or a word or action or perception or conception. My viewpoint, your viewpoint, his, hers, that. How about that inner viewpoint? You're free from that. You can be free from that. I'm finna prove it to y'all. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom, we're talking about Jesus. Okay? We're talking about Jesus. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for it to read. Now, this is a tradition. Y'all, I just read it. as his custom was. So he went back to his hometown and did the usual, the normal. But see, what people did not understand, even though he did that, he wanted them to get further than the normal, the usual, the thing that they are so accustomed to and stuck in. See, people stuck in stuff. That's why we can't be free. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Are y'all listening? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is what Jesus said. This is Jesus talking. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. To let them know that they are rich, y'all. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So it don't matter who hurt you in that relationship, whether it was a man or a woman. It does not matter how hard it made you feel or made you want to stay in that place. He came to heal the brokenhearted. It don't matter if your mama did not treat you the way that you thought she should have treated you. Are you listening, baby? It does not matter if your mother walked out on you and deprived you or even showed favoritism concerning your other siblings. It does not matter. Yeah. See, this is why he came to heal the brokenhearted. When that father was not there, when that sister and that brother criticized or talked down on you, when that uncle or that auntie made you feel less than, when God said you're more than, he came to heal the brokenhearted in that relationship when that man chose her instead of me, when he chose that woman instead of that girl. Oh yeah, we talking about all the brokenhearted that's on this land. Yeah. That's why Jesus came. This Jesus, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And what is the poor? It does not mean that you ain't got no money. It means you poor in spirit, baby. Your spirit is mighty low. You can't come up out of that dark place. I'm just saying. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Listen to this one. To preach deliverance to the captives. We ain't got to be captive. Baby, freedom reigns today. Do not allow yourself to be captive to that broken heart that you experienced when you was a kid, as a teenager, as a young adult. Do not allow yourself to be captive to that broken heart of that experience that you experienced with your siblings, your mother and your father. That brokenness, that thing that you could not get over, get past, or run through. Do not allow yourself to be captive in that conversation, that word that was said, that thing that was done in your childhood that you brought to your adulthood that got you in captivity, that you cannot be in a conversation civilized. We are all brokenhearted in some form or some fashion. Captives within our own selves because of some things that we experienced or some words that were said constantly over and over and over again, that it is like a recycling going on in inside of us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, says Jesus, because he, God, have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive. Listen. And recovering the sight of the blind. You cannot clearly see looking through your own lenses. You know why? Because you lean into your own understanding. Everything that you see and hear, you think people picking on you, and I'm not part of, and I'm sitting here, and I'm doing this, and I'm not doing that. You thinking don't nobody love you, because my family, they'll invite them, but they didn't invite me. They'll tell them, but they didn't tell. Why, I'm the last to know. How about God probably didn't even want you to know? And if you had not been calling and asking questions, you wouldn't. I'm just saying, we as people, he said he wants to deliver us from being captives within the brokenness. He wants us to be able to see. He said, I want to recover the sight to the blind. And he's not just saying healing us from our vision, that we need corrective lenses. He's talking about blind to his truth. Why? Because we could be in a situation or a circumstance, baby, that we can't see our way out. We can't think it out. We ain't got no solutions or no resolutions. And we don't even know if we're going to get out until we blinded from seeing our future. Did y'all hear what I say? We could be so blinded until we hating the very person that love us so much that we cannot see that they only trying to help me to be free. I'm going to say that again. We got so much animosity and bitterness and resentment inside of our hearts towards one another that we cannot even see that the person is simply concerned about our heart condition. Blind. We so blind that when a person try to love us, we don't think that they do love us because they not loving us the way that we want them to, which is something that is not of God or something that we think is love and it's not, because if we don't know God, we don't know love. So how can we even accept it? We blind to it. Because we what? Can't recognize. We can't recognize I love you. Why? Because I can't recognize that you love me because you always fussing. Or you always saying this. And you always saying that. And the Bible says God chastised him that he loved. If he didn't love you, baby, he would not tell you to do this. If he didn't love you, he would not tell you to pray. He wouldn't tell you to fast. He wouldn't tell you to study. He wouldn't tell you to do this. If God did not love you, baby, when he stopped telling you stuff, that's when you better be scared. Baby, reprove me, Lord. Because I know you love me. If you did not love me, you would not tell me this. Let me tell you how much he loves us. He loves us so much until he tells us this stuff because he wants us to what? Reign with him. He not saying it to bruise your ego or to make you feel some type of way. He's saying it that you may recognize your error. So that you can have a repentant heart of conviction and turn. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. See, if we do not pay attention to the whole conclusion of it, we still gonna be captives and in bondage. That ball and chain. That's a ball and chain. Y'all gonna make me try to go to a store and find a ball and chain. Did you hear what I say? Freedom reigns on tonight. Freedom reigns tonight. This is what Jesus told me. Freedom reigns tonight. If you want it. The spirit of the because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind. Look, to set at liberty them that are bruised. What is liberty? Freedom. See, you may be bruised when the Lord comes to you and correct you and it caused you to be embarrassed. You may get bruised when the Lord come and expose some things and cause you to be shamed. You may be bruised when he openly rebuke you. He say, I openly rebuke some that others may fear. They ain't nobody scared no more. They ain't scared no more because they think they can still walk around and do what they want to do. Oh, but when the wrath of the Lord fall on, then they crying out, oh, would you pray for me? Oh, would you do? See, he came to set us free from the bruising of the ego, the bruising in that conversation. What you talking about, Pastor? That word that was said, that thing that was said. How am I bruised? Because the truth hurts. Do the truth bruise you? Yes. The Bible says that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It go in and cuts, it divides, it go under, it go, it say to the very marrow of, that's something in the inside of the bone. So baby, you're gonna be bruised. Okay. What you talking about, Pastor? The Bible says that the word of God, which is the truth, this is all truth, y'all. So when I say truth, it's going to offend you. It's going to offend you and make you want to disregard. It's going to make, and then guess what? You in captivity, you in bondage, you lost, you blind, and you doomed, and you going straight to hell. It's okay, I ain't going with you. He wants us to be free from all that stuff, so that we may have a heart of acceptance. Yes. I freely volunteer. I accept it all. Because y'all, see, y'all think, y'all really think that I be hard on it. Let me tell y'all something. When I received the Holy Ghost, it was nothing like it is today. Y'all got it good. Y'all got it good. See, talking about bruised, I was beat down. Baby, listen. I'm just going to read these two scriptures one more time. And then I'm going to talk a bit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He have sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I said all those words that are acceptable. And I'm going to play.
I'm going to play this song.
Some people have seen where God has brought you from.
See.
They don't really understand it.
Listen to these words, y'all. Listen.
They don't know your story.
Listen
some
to
people
it.
Have seen where God has brought you from. Understand it.
Y'all don't understand it. I'm going to stop it right
there.
I'm going to start it over. Listen to these first words.
Some people have seen where God has brought you from. They don't really understand it.
Listen.
Some people have seen where God has brought you from. They don't really understand it. Some people have seen where God has brought you from. they understand it. Some people have seen where God has brought you from. They don't really understand it. Some people have seen where God has brought you from. They don't really understand it.
Let me tell you why you really don't understand it. Each and every last one of us got a story. See, the difference from my story and your story is I'm free. I'm not in bondage. I don't have myself held in captivity. I'm not brokenhearted. I'm not blind. I have gave y'all so many testimonies of where God has brought me from, but you really don't understand it. You heard how I said what I went through and how he delivered me from it and how he brought me out of it with other people being involved. Let me help you to really understand it. You don't know what he brought me through in me. I ain't talking about the people that was attached, involved, who he used, who he placed, or how he positioned in order to get me to this place to understand that freedom reigns. See, I was chief player. Your attitude ain't have none on mine, baby. That's why I can deal with you and your mess. The sometimeness, the love me today, hate me tomorrow. I experienced all this stuff. I experienced how the pastor, literally, let me tell y'all this story. So, every morning at 5 o'clock, I went to church. He gave me a key. And it was me and two or three other women. They came and prayed in the church every morning at 5 a.m. Every morning. And so, he always had Brother Sweat come and watch because it was just us women. And so I started inviting people. And so this particular morning, it was a few of us in there. And it's my spiritual mother that passed away. Her daughter came. And she was broken. And as I was praying, the Lord started loosening some chains on her. And he told me to anoint her and touch her heart and pray for her. And in the midst of it, she fell back and knocked all the chairs down and laid on the floor, and she just started regurgitating and spitting up all this stuff. Now all the time, the Lord had forewarned me that my gift intimidated my pastor. And so as we was praying and she was getting delivered, the music was playing, I was on my knees and I was on my face, and I was praying with her, tarrying with her. And then Brother Sweat called the pastor and told the pastor everything that was going on. And so next thing, I'm on the floor with her, my back is to the pulpit. And I'm on the floor with it, and I'm praying with it, praying with it. They say, you know, I heard a microphone come on. And we didn't pray with microphones. But I didn't look up. I'm still praying with her, tearing with her. And it was the pastor. And he said, Sister Tate, get up. So, the Bible says you have to be obedient to your leaders. So I got up. And when I got up, I looked around and I'm confused. Because I would think that he would come and he'd say, who is that on the floor? I said, it's Beth. I said, God is there. And then it was almost like the spirit was cut. Literally. Because of the negativity that he presented as a leader. And so he said, help her up off that floor. So I went over there, helped her up, and she got up and she looked at me and she said, I said, so she got up and said it. He said, fix these chairs back. We start fixing the chairs. I need you to know that I'm the chief prophet in here. And you such and such stuff, you always want to pray. You always want to do this in God. And you're just so obedient, huh, Sister Tate? And so I just looked at him and I sat down. I had my head down. I ain't say nothing. I need to talk to you in the office. Now this in the middle of prayer, y'all. And so everybody got up and they left. And I went in the office. And he started talking. And I didn't say anything. I just sat there and I just looked at him. And then he said, well, what do you gotta say? I say, I'm praying for you. Are you finished? He said, yes. I said, okay. I'll see you tonight. Bible study. So when we came to church for Bible study, he called my name over the pulpit and told everybody everything that happened. And Prophetess Reed and all the other people in there, they looking like. And after service, Prophetess Reed walked up to me and she said, I was there when that took place and God had nothing to do with what he said. She said, but you stay encouraged. I say, I'm good. I say, because he ain't the first. But see, what's the moral of the story? The Lord was teaching me to humble myself. He was teaching me that I ain't got to defend myself. He was teaching me how to love even in spite of me. See, what I didn't really understand at that time was why he had me in these ministries and the pastors always attacked me. They was not attacking me to show me my error, but they was attacking me because they was inferior to what God put inside of me. So that was the second pastor, but the first pastor literally called my name over and say, if you prophesy to anybody else in this church, I'm putting you out. I have went to convocations and the bishop of the convocation, hundreds of people in there, had people to escort me out the door. And all the time, I was humble. And I smiled. I gave him the word of the Lord. And I kicked the dust off. And I, see, he was teaching me not to resent people because of the ugly, evil, and wickedness that they had against me. It never fails. Everybody that ever came up to me or came against me, I had to pray for their healing. It never failed. From the men that molested me in my life, I had to pray for their healing. To all the stuff that occurred into my life, even up until now, I'm still praying for folk that has came up against me. What was he teaching me? He was teaching me to forgive 70 times, 70 times, 70. And then the scriptures go on, out of a pure and sincere heart, that I don't hold it against you. He was teaching me how to be more concerned about others, even though they hate me. Because even in the midst of it all, I'm still concerned about your welfare, how you live and what you live in and what does it and what you need and how you need it. I'm still concerned. See, he was teaching me how to be selfless. See, y'all know the stories, but y'all don't know the story. Or how he had me fasting for days on end straight. See, the way he didn't have me to tell people to fast from this time to this. No, I'm talking about days straight. No food, no water. Laying on my face in that word. Listening to his voice. I got books and books and books of the prophetic word that he spoke to me years ago that's coming to pass now. You don't know how they talked about me and slandered, defamed me. And I said, Lord, I ain't going back to that church no more. He said, yes, you is. He said, go. And when you go, you keep your eyes on me. So I went and I ain't pay attention to look at nobody. I just praised and I worshiped God. And I felt all this stuff and I knew all this stuff because he was training me how to use the gift of discernment of all spirits. See, how can I discern these different spirits and recognize them if I ain't amongst them? See, he taught me how to trust in nobody but him. When I didn't have anything and try, my family turned their back on me. Nobody wanted to do nothing. They would not even have my kids. They would, he taught me how to trust in him with all my heart. And not to lean to my own understanding of what I see and be deceived. See, I'm talking about healing the broken, the bruised, removing them scales off my eyes. See, I can only say these things to help you to know it's about me. If you want it.
I want it, Lord. I want it.
It's available. See, don't nobody know my story, your story. See, we tell so much. But it's some stuff that we ain't done told. But let me say it tonight. There's no secrets. It's stuff that the Lord done revealed to me about everybody that crossed my path. And I never uttered it. Not even to them. I'm not making that up.
I know you told
me. See, the first thing he asked me when he called me into the prophetic, he said, can you keep a secret? I said, yeah, Lord. He said, I see. Baby, it's like being married to the mom. He tells me his secrets and he reveals his mysteries. Why? The Bible says the closer you get to him, he will do it. It ain't just for me. It's for you, and everybody. He said the closer you get to me, I will tell you my secrets, and I will reveal my mystery. So I want to get to this right here. Why you resent me? It's available to you. I asked my sister that. Because every time I turn around, she's talking about my spirituality. And so I said, wait a minute, hold on. I said, yes, Lord, why didn't you? So don't get mad at me because I accept the truth and you deny it. Don't resent me because I'm walking in the truth and you just standing still. See, a person better be careful the questions they ask me. Because I got an answer. And you may not like it. But it will give you something to ponder on. It's a lot of times I ask questions and I say this afterwards. Don't answer it. How many times I did that to you? I said, I'm going to ask you something, but don't answer it. Keep that just pondering. Because it ain't for me to know. That's between you and God. I just want to say what he say, and then he say, tell him to ponder on it. Don't answer it. Because if we answer these questions hastily, we're going to start lying.
Foolishness.
The Bible says that he was sent because the Spirit of the Lord is upon him to set us free from captivity in our hearts, in our minds, to heal the brokenness, to remove the blindness, that we may walk in the liberty. It's available, y'all. We as people have to come to a place of repentance. So I don't know what it is that's going on with you, how it is, or how long it's been going on, but write it down on them yellow sheets of paper and red pens. And in doing so, after you write it down, put it on the altar and come pray. If you want to, you ain't got to. It's a free will choice.